Please turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. And I'd like to read just the first four verses from Revelation 21. Hear God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Grant us grace and encouragement in it as we, your people, look forward to the benefits of the good work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We pray in his name. Amen. When I was a little guy in Cleveland, Ohio, and I mean a little guy, it was during the Second World War, and I lived with my mother, and my father was a seaman in the Pacific. And one evening during that time, my mother had a dream. She dreamt that my father would come in the ship in which he was stationed to San Francisco, and that she would take a train from Cleveland, Ohio, to San Francisco to be with my father. And a few weeks later, the ship came unexpectedly into port. And she took that train from Cleveland, Ohio, to meet with my dad. Now, the reason I know that story is I heard it many times. And the promise of that story, of that dream, came to pass. And it was a wonderful thing. In the text that's before us, we have a truly great and wonderful promise, which will indeed come to pass. A part of it's in verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. What a good promise. And I think the point here in our text is quite simple, that God consummates his great covenant promise in the life to come. And brothers and sisters, you who are in Christ Jesus are the beneficiaries. Let's look at our text. Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. There's to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the idea of newness here is the idea of renewal. When we come to Christ and are converted, we have new birth. We are regenerated. We are renewed. And we participate in what the Bible calls the new covenant. It's the old covenant in a new administration administered by Jesus Christ, and we belong to Him. And in that new covenant, having been renewed and given new birth, we are called new creatures. And this is the idea. There is to be a new earth and a new heaven, a renewal of all of the creation. And as the text tells us, the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The created order as we know it will be no more. There will be a regeneration of all things. And there is no longer any sea. The image of the sea is the Sea of Nations, out of which earlier in the book of Revelation arises the beast. And there will be no longer any sea of profane nations, nor beasts that oppose the kingdom of God. The first things will be passed away. And if you notice in verse 4, it says the same thing. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things passed away. There are the two bookends in our little pericope, our little portion. The first things have passed away. Everything related to the curse, gone forever. Verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Not only do the first things pass away, but we see that God exists in this new sphere of living. And God not only exists there, but He settles down and makes His home there with His people. Again, verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, the new Jerusalem, the new city of God, not the profane city, but the renewed heavenly city. And it can only come from God, because only God can renew and regenerate and restore. And so the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is seen coming out of heaven from God. And this new city is the church, is it not? The bride, adorned for her husband, made ready. The word adorned comes from the Greek term from which we get our idea of cosmetics. All the cosmetics have been taken care of. And the adornment is perfect. I have the picture in my mind of my son-in-law, who, when he walked into the auditorium of our church building in Sterling, Kansas, and I was at his side, it was before the wedding. You have to take pictures before the wedding, don't you? It was before the wedding, and we were walking down the side aisle, and my middle daughter was standing on the platform, and he looked and he said, I can hardly say it myself, she's beautiful. And here's the bride adorned for her husband, and Jesus Christ the Lord looks at the bride. And you know who that is, don't you? That's you and me. He looks at the bride and he says, you're beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Because I know in myself I am not beautiful. And I heard, well, verse 2 again, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. The city is the dwelling place of God, and we're reminded of that tabernacle of old in the wilderness with its holy of holies, a little cubicle, 10 cubits by 10 cubits by 10 cubits, and the glory of God came and dwelt in that place. And we're reminded of the temple later, are we not? Solomon's temple. And the Holy of Holies, which was a little bit larger, 20 by 20 by 20. And the glory of God came and filled that place. And here's the city, which is the dwelling place of God. And if you look down at verses 15 and 16 in Revelation 21, the one who spoke to me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city was laid out as a square, its length and is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. The glorious dwelling place of God. And God not only dwells there, but the promise is that God will consummate His ancient promises to Israel with His people as He brings His people into the life to come. Look at verse 3 again. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will dwell among you. That's the ancient promise. It was a promise that Abraham understood as God went with him. It was a promise that Moses knew as God went with the people. And it was a promise that was specifically articulated in Leviticus 26:12. I will be your God and you shall be my people. And I will dwell among you. And it's a promise. It's a promise to the people of God today. In the churches that we represent, that God will be among His people as His people gather together to worship Him week by week. That God will be there. And it's a promise that's consummated in the life to come. This is what our text tells us. And He will dwell among them. And they will be His people. And God Himself will be among them. And as God consummates His promise, He removes, the text tells us, every vestige of the curse affecting you and me. Look at verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. And there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Is it all right if I say, Hallelujah? Amen.
Amen.
What a wonder it is. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no reason to weep because of a child that has gone astray, because of an accident that has occurred and a subsequent hospitalization and a lack of finances because employment is affected. There will be no reason to weep for those things. There will be no reason to stand beside the bed of a loved one whom you know is slipping slowly inevitably from this life. And there'll be no reason to stand beside a grave to bury the one you love. There will be no more death. No more occurrences of death. No more state of death in which body and soul are separated. Because Christ will have come a second time in glory, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and body and soul will be reunited, and we will be with Him forever. No more death. It's hard for us to contemplate, isn't it? And there will be no longer any mourning. Mourning and wailing over the loss of a loved one. No more crying. You may wonder why the idea of crying here is added again. The idea of crying here is the idea of crying out. The crying out in a demonstration. Aren't you weary of seeing the pictures of demonstrations on the television of people running through the streets crying out in anger? I'm tired of that. I really am. And the day will come when it'll be no more. There'll be no more despair. There'll be no more of a need to cry out in that fashion. And the text also tells us no more pain. Several of you have asked me, haven't you gone to the chiropractor yet? Well, I got to do that. I've got to put my feet to the fire. No more pain. No more aches and pains. Thank you. What a good life. Every aspect of the curse gone forever. The first things have passed away. Now, I want you to see something else about this scene here. This is a corporate picture in which you who trust in Christ find yourselves. You are there. Look at the text again. Look at verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men," plural. You ladies are included here. "He will dwell among them," plural, "and they," plural, "shall be His people." And the original language actually says peoples here. They will be His peoples. The peoples of the world will be there. And God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, this is a corporate picture. We are stuck in an individualistic time warp in our culture and society. And we do believe that the closest and most profound encounters we may have with God come on an individualistic basis. We see this in our evangelism. And specifically, we see it in evangelism where meetings are designed in order to get people not to hear the Word of God so much, but to get them into the hands of a personal counselor. That's the idea. Aretha Lynn Boyle. Aretha? Lynn, huh? Orlena. Sorry. Orlena Lynn Boyle, our former missionary from Japan, said to me in this context, "I was astonished when I came home from Japan. on the emphasis of the individual in our culture and society. It was me, 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 me. When I left Japan, the emphasis was on us, 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 the family, the corporate group. And the emphasis here is on the corporate entity. We will be before Him as a body. Thank God that that's the case. And He will dwell among us. And we will be there. And it is a fulfillment in the consummation corporately. And you put yourself in this picture. You are the them. And say, just don't look at it like it's out there. Put yourself in this picture. It's like stepping into that dream, isn't it? In a sense. How many of you have had a dream that was so real you thought you were actually there? Well, maybe we better not talk about some of those dreams. But that's how it is. And you are there. You see, this is a personal and corporate blessing that awaits you who trust in Jesus Christ. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Is it in your heart to say to the Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord. You are my strength and my salvation. Praise be unto God. Is that what's in your heart? Then this, friends, is what awaits you. You are there. And let me add this, that if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you are not a person who does indeed trust in Him, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. You may be in trouble, and this blessed picture does not await you. You need to come to Christ. You need to trust in Him as the one who delivers you from every vestige of the curse and trouble in this world. And then you may rest assured that you will be with the saints in glory, which is to come. God, in His goodness, consummates His covenant promises in the life to come. And you who trust in Jesus Christ, dear friends, you are the beneficiaries. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Bless us in our understanding of what you have in store for us. And use that understanding to encourage us in this life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.